Okay. First question, Dave. How did you come to know Jesus? What happened?
Well, to be honest with you, I had a chaotic life, you know. I'll just kind of give the main thing. I was thinking a lot whether God was real or not. So I was asking the question, is God real? Is he not real? And I was listening to a lot of the likes of Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins and, you know, theologians on the subject and all. Everyone was putting arguments together for and against, and I didn't know what to believe, to be honest with you. So, in the end, I was walking down Smithfield, and I said, that's it. I'm never thinking about this again. It was doing me head in. Do you know what I mean? It was non-stop thinking about it. And at that very moment, two girls approached me, and just in the kind of mode I was in, one of the girls says, can I have a word with you for a second? And I was like, yeah, what do you want? She pulled out, you know what I mean? I was like, what do you want? You know what I mean? So she pulled out a Bible, and the first thing she said to me was, without saying anything else, do you know if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you have to become a born-again Christian? Right at that moment, when I decided I wasn't going to think about it again. So that was the kind of seed, you know? That planted a seed, and then going out and doing drugs and doing coke and whatever, you know, smoking hash and drinking and, you know, going out with different women and all that, you know what I mean? It was all kind of empty. And one day I just cried out to God myself from my own heart. I said, look, listen, if you're there, help me. And use whatever small talents all you have to help other people. You know, and fast forward 6 months from there, I was in the lighthouse teaching the homeless how to play the guitar. I was teaching them how to paint and working with the homeless. But that's the first thing that happened. The next day, I felt compelled to go out and help the homeless. Now, I'd seen the likes of Jay Bourne and Ian O'Brien and stuff, and I knew them from Drimley, you know, and they would have been mad. Do you know what I mean? Absolute lunatics. And to see them out helping the homeless was like, but that's a testimony in itself. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there must be something in this. So the next day I felt compelled to go and help the homeless. So I thought, right, I'm going to go in, you know what I mean? I'm going to be deadly. I'm going to help the homeless. But little did I know, you know, that was where I got my healing, you know, because I came from a place of brokenness. You know, my brother died at 21 from heroin, you know, 3 years on it. He was the best looking out of family. Well, he won't go that far, but he's a good looking bloke. exactly. Nice one, Sharon. But 3 years in, you know, and I spent all my time with him, you know, my ma's here for the first time today as well. You know, so. You know, just to say, my ma's an absolute gem, you know, and she doesn't mind me saying she suffers with a bit of schizophrenia. You know, but she's an absolute diamond. She was always there. I have two older brothers, and she was always there for us. And I don't think, you know, my dad didn't know how to handle that at that time, which is understandable. So he'd be kind of gone. He wouldn't be there. And you know what I mean? It was a bit chaotic, and we were wild type of thing. You know, and then we were all taking drugs, and John went on drugs. So I was completely broken, you know. And I was acting as if I had it all together. Like I was writing songs and, do you know what I mean? I was out working a good job and trying to look as if I was made up, but inside I was broken, you know. And the first thing God does was whipped out the ego straight from underneath me, like, you know. And that was everything I was. I was like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? So, but that's God's work, you know, and that's what happened. So I'm only a Christian about a year and 2 months. And what I'm going through at the moment is healing, you know. And it's hard. It is hard. You have to be willing to give it over. Do you know what I mean? You have to be willing to do that. That's it. That's what it takes, you know. You've got to open those wounds up, and, you know, they've got to be, it's nearly salt going into them. Do you know what I mean? But it has to come up to go out. So that's the path I'm on at the moment, you know, to answer that question. It was a bit of a long-winded answer. 2 o'clock in the morning.
Just one more question. What's your passion? What's in your heart? What's bubbling up in you?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, Derek Richardson is here today, you know, and to be honest with you, I owe a lot of becoming a Christian to him. You know, I met Derek on a soup run. So when I was compelled to go out and help the homeless, I went out on a soup run, right? And then I met Derek, and I clicked with him immediately, and I liked him. And I was like, well, he's not off his head. Do you know what I mean? He's a Christian, he's not off his head. So, you know, that was saying something to me. You know, and then he said to me, look, why don't you come up to the church? you know, it was like, I don't know, man. So it took a few weeks, and he finally got me up to the church, and I was down the back standing beside him, full attention, and the worship came on. I was like, this is mad stuff, do you know what I mean? What are you doing? Then I start reading the lyrics and getting into it. But that was it. When I came in here first and seen everybody here, I related to everybody here because they're like me. Do you know what I mean? I seen the broken, I seen the transformation in yourself. You, Louise, you, Stephen, Sharon, Paul, all yous, Naomi, all yous. So that was a testimony in itself. That's where my heart is, you know, and it's with all yous and obviously with God.
Can I just release something? Just as David was talking, what I seen was I've seen, you know, these high-tech TVs, and they have all these digital things, and they're 3D, and there's all different colours. They're all new. They're coming out. It's like, it's nearly like the expansion of technology over the last number of years. But what I've seen is I've seen something being created, and you're a creative man. You're creative in art. You're creative in music. But I believe the Lord is going to give you such creativity, and that's what I'm going to release over you. You're going to make things that hasn't been made before. So, Father, we thank you for David. We thank you for his testimony, Lord. And, Father, we pray for the releasing of creativity, Father, to its fullness in his life, oh God. Father, that he will be so, it'll be like he'll be drawing and painting the designs of heaven, Lord, that you will reveal to him, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Now we have our pastor, Louise. Praise God.
Thank you. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to have everybody here this morning, and it's a full house. Praise God. If you don't have a seat, we have some seats up the front here. You're welcome down the back there to take a seat if you like. We're going to hit the movie there. Just watch the screens for a second. Any joy at all? No? Okay, we'll try and come back to it. Okay. As you can see this morning, the kids are part of our service and the youth are part of our service. And this morning we felt it's Resurrection Sunday and we wanted to make this a family affair. And so that's why all the kids are here and the youth. So it's great to have them here with us this morning. And they're going to be doing something while I'm preaching this morning. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday, Lord God. That, Father, that you are alive. And Father, not just for today, but for every day. And Father, we give you praise and glory for that this morning. And you know, this morning I've been asked to speak about the open grave. And you know, I read a story about a young man who took a shortcut through a cemetery. And you know, a cemetery can be a scary place. And this man, when he took the shortcut through the cemetery, he fell into an open grave. And he tried to get out, but he couldn't. And he began to scream, he began to shout, he began to yell. And he tried to claw his way out of the grave. So he came to the realization, you know what? I'm just going to settle down for the night. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to make myself comfortable here for the night. So he settled down and he went to sleep. So later on that night, a second man came through the cemetery. And the second man fell into the open grave. And the second man began to scream, he began to shout, he began to holler. And he began to try and claw his way out. And the first man that fell in that was asleep taps the second man on the shoulder in the dark. And he says to him, "Hey buddy, you're not going to get out of here tonight." So can you just imagine what the first man did to the second man? He probably thumped the head off him with the fright. But the moral of the story is, don't take any shortcuts through any open graves. Amen. Amen. You know, this morning is a great morning. But every morning is a great morning. But this morning we celebrate the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Without the power of the resurrection of Jesus, it would have ended for each of us in death. Death would have been the final conclusion. But this is not the way the story ends. And this morning, I want to investigate the evidence and answer the question about the open grave. Who moved the stone and the body of Jesus? Is this very echoey? Is it all right? Okay. Yes, so who moved the stone and the body of Jesus? Was it the gardener? Was it the two Marys? Was it the enemies of Jesus? Or was it the disciples? Did the gardener go and open the tomb and move the body? Did he go and get permission of the king to break open the royal seal that was on the stone? Did he move the body of Jesus and did he place it in a new location? If he did that, then there would be no need for the resurrection story, because the body of Jesus would have been found. Was it the enemies of Jesus, the people that hated him? Did they come and open the tomb and steal his body? If so, I believe that the enemies would have later on produced the body. They would have produced it weeks later to prove that the resurrection was false. Was it the two Marys on the way to the tomb? These two ladies were going to the tomb that morning to anoint the body. Was it these two ladies that went and opened the tomb and moved the body? You see, it tells us in Mark 16:3, it says that on the way to the tomb, these two ladies had a conversation. The two ladies were struck with grief. They were sad. They were sorrowful. Because you see, they had followed Jesus throughout his ministry. And now the king, the savior, was dead. Was it these two ladies that went that morning and moved the stone? Did they roll the stone away? You see, the stone weighed a ton. And these two ladies wouldn't have had the physical strength to be able to move that stone. Because at that time, there used to be levers that were left against the entrance of the tomb. And these levers was a way of removing the stone. What about the disciples? Did they move the stone? After the resurrection, we've read in the Gospels, we've read in the Scriptures, that the disciples hid. When he died, they went into the upper room. They were scared stiff. They were so frightened that they hid behind the closed door. Or maybe did these disciples gather up some Dutch courage and say to themselves, we're going to overtake and overpower the Roman guards. We're going to go in and we're going to take the body of Jesus. Were they willing, the disciples, were they willing to go in and risk their own lives? You see, breaking a Roman seal would have meant death for these men. Were they willing to face death themselves? You see, all this support and evidence seems highly unlikely. Wouldn't you agree? And if you come with me to Matthew 28, we're going to solve the mystery. We're going to solve the mystery of what really happened on that Easter Sunday morning. Amen. And Matthew 28, if we pick it up. Okay. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Amen. Does the resurrection move you? Can we celebrate Easter and not be moved? I think that is why Matthew reminds us that the whole earth shook The whole earth shook. The whole earth trembled that first Sunday morning. You see, on the cross on Good Friday, the majority of the world, they turned their back on Jesus. But on Easter Sunday morning, God did all he could to turn his face to the world. You see, the earth shook. God had a plan, and he was sending a message to the earth. The guards were so shaken. They were so afraid. They were full of fear. The angel tells us that these men became like dead men. They stood as corpses. They were so shook up. They were paralyzed with fear that they shook in their boots. You see, the guards were the ones that were keeping watch over the dead body. They were keeping watch over Jesus. But yet, these men became as dead. They were scared. They were scared out of their life. And the guards standing guard, they were taking watch with shields, with swords. They were equipped. These were well-trained guards. And the seal on the stone was a sign that the tomb was occupied, that the body of Jesus lay in this tomb. The seal on the stone also said that the power and the authority of Rome stood behind the seal, that the seal cannot be tampered with. And this was an order from the king. Nobody could tamper with that seal. The stone cannot be rolled away. But suddenly, there was a suddenly, an angel came. And when the angel came, he rolled back the stone. And what I love about this scripture is that the angel sat on the stone and he was more or less saying, I'm plonking myself here because all power and the authority of heaven has been risen from the grave. And it's like kids. I know we have kids in the audience here today. It's like an action. The angel was like an action hero, like Superman, like Spider-Man, like Batman. They all have supernatural powers. But this angel had beams of lightning shining from him. His clothes were dazzling white. And you know, the guards that were posted at the tomb, they represented the kingdom of Rome. They represented the Roman army. But the angel represented the one who sits in all authority, the one that sits at the right hand of the Father. It was the angel that was representing the kingdom of God. When the angel rolled back the stone, it was not to let Jesus out, because Jesus was already well gone. He rolled back that stone to let the women in. He rolled back the stone so the women would see the grave clothes. This was the one who rose from the dead. The one who is omnipresent everywhere all the time. The one who can walk on water. The one who can walk through walls. The one who brings hope to the hopeless. The one who is and always will be everlasting God. The one who conquered the grave. You know, I read a post the other day on Facebook, and it's from one of our Liberty people in another location. And she was asked, did you ever see God? And she responded, no. And the person who asked the question said to her, so how do you know he is real? And she responded back, I never saw the wind, but I definitely have felt it. Then the person said, well, I don't believe in God. To which our Liberty person responded, that's okay, he believes in you. You know, the disciples, they doubted. Thomas doubted. And I don't know whether you're doubting here this morning, but can I tell you, the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. He's alive. It's Resurrection Sunday, and we have something to celebrate. The resurrection is an earthquake. It shook the whole world, and it got the attention of everyone. Has the resurrection touched you? You see, the angel did more than move the stone from the door of the tomb. He said to the women, "Don't be afraid. Be not afraid." And you can just picture the soldiers, this massive angel coming and plonking himself on the stone. And the soldiers, well-trained guards, terrified, fainting in their watch. But the angel had a command. And the command was from God. Fear not. Be not afraid. And you know something, church, that should fill our hearts this morning. That should fill each of our hearts. Be not afraid. We should be filled with the joy of God this morning. We should be alive every day of our lives. We should be alive inside, not just waiting on Resurrection Sunday. You see, Jesus is for today, tomorrow, and forever. We serve an everlasting God. You see, our God, he kept his promise. He kept telling the disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to die on the cross. Men are going to hang me. They're going to hang me out to dry. But I'm going to be rose from the dead. I'm going to be risen from the dead in 3 days. He had prompted them. He had already told them. And I don't know if you're facing fears in your own life, but can I tell you, believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. If you're afraid of the future, believe in Jesus. When you don't get an answer to your prayers, if your prayers are being delayed, believe in Jesus. Trust him. When you're looking at a hopeless situation in your life, can I tell you, friends, believe. Believe in him. Believe in the resurrection. The angel delivered good news that morning. Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus. He isn't here. He's not in the tomb. He has risen. Come and see the place where he lay. The angel is extending an invitation to come into the tomb and examine the grave clothes. Because he has risen, we can face tomorrow, the next day, and the day after. And there was an old song about that. Sharon probably knows it. Because he lives, we face tomorrow. Isn't that it, Char? We get her to do it at the end. But can I tell you, he will meet your needs. This God that we serve, he's a living God. He will meet your needs. He will keep you safe. And he will return for you one day. You see, that morning at the tomb, the women, the guards, they were not the same. Yes, they were astonished at what happened. And especially the two women. This was their king, their savior, the one that they adored, the one that they loved. And now he has risen. These women were filled with fear, but it was a healthy fear. And yet they were filled with joy. And you know, Easter has that kind of moving effect on people. Does the resurrection have that effect on you? Or have you set a seal on your heart that it can't be tampered with? Have you rolled the stone over your pain and blocked the entrance to your heart? Have you been locked in a grave of deadness? Are there dead things in your life, even though you're alive? Is any part of your body, your job, your marriage, your health, finances, are they dead? If they are, you're in a grave. You're locked in a grave. And maybe you've been living too long in the in-between of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Are you stuck not knowing what to believe? And maybe it's time to see the resurrection of Jesus all over again. Maybe it's time to let God shake your world. Maybe it's time to allow God to roll the stone away from the entrance of your heart and come out of your own grave today. You've got to come out of the grave today. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. That's the good news. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary felt something that Easter Sunday morning. It touched something deep inside their core. They encountered the living God. They left the open grave quickly. We just read about it. And they began to share the good news with the disciples. He's alive. He has risen. He's alive. The Master has risen. Do you believe he has risen this morning? You see, the stone is a trophy of victory. The angel rolled back the stone from the door and he sat on it. He sat on the stone in victory so that the world would know that even death could not contain him. The grave couldn't hold him. And the enemies of Jesus assumed he was dead. You see, Jesus is the winner. He's the overcomer. Death couldn't hold him. It says in Revelation 1:17, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus lived a life just like you and me. He went to parties. He laughed. He cried. He was lonely. He needed friends. They weren't always there. Sometimes they rejected him. He got tired. He got thirsty, just like we do. And he was tempted just the way we get tempted. And not only did he experience life, he experienced death. He experienced the pain and the loneliness of death itself. "I am the living one," he said. "I became dead, but now I am alive forever and ever." So this morning, we don't have to be afraid. This is our proof. No matter what life throws at us, with him, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. You see, all the power is in the hands of Jesus. And because of his death comes life. He breathes life into the dead parts of our life. And I'm nearly finished. I don't know everybody here this morning, but I do see some new faces. And if you're not sure today, even after listening to the songs that we've sang, to the testimony of David, to the word that's been preached, to the words that were given here this morning, I stand here before you. And I can tell you that Jesus touched my life. He touched it in a deep way. You see, I allowed him to roll the stone away from my hardened heart. I feel the effects of the resurrection every day. Every single day I feel it. I believe in it. I've experienced it. I've felt it. He took me out of a pit. He took me out of the miry clay. And he put my feet firmly on a rock. The rock is him. I know the power of the resurrection. It lives in my life. He lives in me. And because he lives in me, I can face tomorrow. I can face troubles and storms in my life. Because he lives in me. I've seen the power and the hand of God. I've witnessed the power of the resurrection over your life, Patrick. I was there. We've witnessed it. That's the power of the resurrection. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The earth felt the effects of the resurrection. The angel felt the effects. The guards felt the effects. Even the women felt the effects. Everyone present that day felt the effects of the resurrection. It's the same power that conquered the grave back 2,000 whatever years ago lives today. That's the same power that conquered the grave. He lives today and forever. Friends, when God touches your life, He breaks every seal. He breathes life into the deadness in your life. And the challenge this morning is, the challenge of the good news, come see the place where He lay. Be not afraid. He's risen. Just believe. And I want to invite the kids to come to the front. And this is part of the service, so there's going to be a little bit of disruption. So please don't leave the room, anybody. But I want the worship team to come back and all the kids to come. Any joy with the video? No? Down. I'm going to ask you all to sit. You want to sit down? Let's sit.
Let's sit.
Amen. 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 Okay, let's just stay focused. We're going to go out here this morning with a victory song. But this morning I need to ask, if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, there's three reasons this morning why you need Him. And the first one is that you have a past and you need a friend and He holds the future to your life. And I want every eye closed in the house this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus here this morning, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. If you want to invite Jesus to come into your life. And it's as simple as saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And we can all say it. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me to set me free from my sins. Come into my life and fill me with the Holy Spirit every day. And if you've said that prayer and you genuinely meant that, can I tell you that all the angels in heaven are rejoicing? Because a son or a daughter has come home today. A son or a daughter has come home. And if you've genuinely said it, please come and see me after, because I will give you a Bible. I have a Bible and I will give you a Bible and I will tell you how that you can read this Bible. It's like nourishment to your spirit. It's like nourishment to your soul. And this is how you will come to know Jesus. Jesus. And the second response this morning, where's my kids' church workers? I don't know where they are. Can you get them? Yeah. Yeah. And the second response to the message is, if you've been living as a believer and you've been stuck in between Good Friday and Easter, and you haven't been moved or touched by the resurrection, you know what? I'm going to invite you to come, or I'm going to invite you to stand behind the kids. But you have to make a shift. If you want God to breathe in your life today, in those dead places, if you want God to touch you deep down inside, you've got to come and you've got to stand. You see, the same power that conquered the grave touched me 22 years ago. And it's the same power that lives and breathes in me, even today. And it can be the same for you here today. The same power that said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and I am the living one." You know, last Sunday morning, I got the pleasure of having, of doing kids' church with all these great kids here this morning. And I asked the kids, "Do you remember? What does hallelujah mean?" Can't hear you. Remember I asked you last week, kids, what does hallelujah mean?
He has risen.
You know what? I had great crack with these kids last week. And I'm sorry we don't have the video. But you know, I asked them the question, what does hallelujah mean? And some of them said, yippee. Some of them said, yay. And some of them, as you heard, said, praise the Lord. But you know what, kids? Sometimes when I go to McDonald's, yeah, when Stephen brings me to McDonald's and I get a Big Mac, I say, hallelujah, that I've got a Big Mac. And I know yous do too when yous get a Big Mac or a Happy Meal. Isn't that right? No? Yous don't say hallelujah? Well, you know what? The kids are part of the service this morning. We can give out the balloons. And their party piece this morning is, on the count of three, we're going to shout. I'm going to say hallelujah. Well, there goes one or two. And we're going to shout, he has risen. And I want all the mammies and the daddies, everybody in the audience, to give a big shout and say, he has risen. So we'll just wait for all the balloons to be given out. Are we nearly ready, kids? Hold them tight. Have we enough? Two of you hold it together. Yeah? Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. Now, can we remember what we practiced last week, kids? Why did Jesus die on the cross for us? Because he loved us and for our sins. So on the count of three, I'm going to say hallelujah. And then you are going to shout, he has. So hallelujah. One, two, three. Let the balloons go. No, he's not letting it go. Okay, there's Jesus going up. Amen. Amen. But you know what? Can I just say, these kids are amazing. You know what? And our kids' churches, kids' church workers, Caroline and Sophie and Paul, and there was many more. Sorry, Jimmy. And there's many more on the team. Can I just tell you, you are doing a great job with our kids. You are doing an amazing job. The kids are going to give out some eggs. They have some gifts for all the mammies and families in the audience. So kids, you can go back. Amen. 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 We're going to kick in with what a beautiful name, yeah? Yeah, right. Great job. Amen. Amen. Can I ask everybody to stand? And you know what? This morning is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. And just as the kids have said, He has risen. On the count of three, I'm going to ask all the mammies and daddies and everybody in the audience to shout, He has risen. And we're going to go out of here with a praise song in our hearts. Today is a victory day. Tomorrow's a victory day. The next day is a victory day. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. One, two, three. Hallelujah. One, two, three. He has risen.